You can know the Lord via one of two ways, either through judgment, when you will know he's the Lord, and your knee will bow and you'll be judged forever and ever for your sins. You'll pay the punishment for them. Or through salvation, where you humbly acknowledge him as Lord. You humbly believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You trust in him, you will know he's the Lord.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have some phone comments that we received this last week. One's from Jack in West Virginia. He says, I really enjoy the program. Another's from Judy in Wisconsin. She says, I was happy to tune in. It was so good. Thank you so much. God bless you and your ministry. And then another phone comment from Kim in Arizona. The message is a blessing. Well, Jack and Judy and Kim, thank you so much for your encouraging responses. It is such a blessing to us to hear that God is using his word. And along with the comments we get on the phone, we also receive requests for new believer packets. And that is one of the most special things that we ever hear when someone has come to Christ. And we are so thankful for the privilege we have to share God's word. And for all of you who partner with us through prayer and support, you are part of this ministry, and when someone comes to faith, we know the angels rejoice, and we just want to let you know, too, because we want you to rejoice in the wonderful work God is doing through his word. Okay, well, we're at our last message in the book of Ezekiel. Now, the rest of this week, we're going to take a look at a passage in Colossians, which I believe will be a great encouragement, and then on Monday, we're going to begin our look at the Olivet Discourse. Well, if you've got friends or family that are interested in the future, you want to tell them, hey, tune in next week as we begin to look at what the future will look like from God's perspective. Okay, well, let's get to the last message in Ezekiel chapter 48.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so we see in this millennial temple, coming from under the throne, life. We see this picture of that, a physical picture of that. It certainly comes through Christ. It comes by his spirit, we know that. And they were to receive his spirit back then, right? We see that. So that's not gone, but there's a physical picture also. And now at this point, we're going to see that God is going to be faithful to his word and his promises to Israel. We're going to see that his faithfulness is exhibited in the fact that all Israel will inherit the land. Now let's take a look at this. Verse 13. Thus says the Lord God, this shall be the boundary by which you shall divide the land for an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice he says clearly it should be divided for an inheritance among what? The 12 tribes, okay? If you are a replacement theology guy and you think the church is Israel, which tribe are you in? And then we have this wonderful statement. Notice this. End of 13, Joseph shall have two. You say Joseph shall have two portions. What's he talking about? Now, I'm really glad you asked that. Turn back to Genesis chapter 48. And by the way, as we go through this, you can turn all sorts of different directions. On the back of your outlines, I've got some pictures of the land division. And I put a little disclaimer on there that this comes from this guy. I don't agree with everything the guy says, all right? But the picture's fine, okay? Genesis 48, and let's look at verse 3. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, to the land of Canaan, and blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give you this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession. And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. But your offspring that have been born after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the names of their brothers and their inheritance. And then look down at verse 21. Then Israel, that's speaking of Jacob, by the way, said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die. But God will be with you and will bring you back into the land of your fathers, and I will give you one portion more than your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. You see, Joseph went into Egypt. He was sold into slavery. He didn't choose to go there. And he had two children, Ephraim and Manasseh there, and they were half tribes in a sense, but he says, you're going to get a full portion for each child. And that's what we see here. Joseph, end of chapter 47, verse 13, back in Ezekiel, Joseph shall have two portions. Praise the Lord, God is faithful. God's faithful to his word. That's why you can't just gloss over this and say, oh, yeah, that's spiritual, spiritual. You know, God is faithful to his word. And then notice, he fulfills this promise, verse 14, and you shall divide it for an inheritance, each one equally with the other, for I swore to give it to your forefathers, and this land shall fall to you as an inheritance. God is faithful to his word. He's so faithful, folks. Stand on his promises. Stand on the promises that apply rightly to you. Not ones that don't apply, but the ones that apply rightly. And stand on them. God made a promise to Israel that he would give them the land as an inheritance. And he is fulfilling his promise ultimately here in the millennium. That's where they inherit their specific places within the land. And he's going to divide it up faithfully. He says, middle 14, swore to give to your forefathers its promise. And again, if you got on, I keep pounding on this, but I have to. Because there's so much here that proves those theologies are erroneous. There's so much here. If you have a theology that eliminates Israel and makes the church Israel, if you ignore the clear teachings of Romans 11 and throw out a myriad of passages in the Old Testament, you undermine the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to his promise. He is fulfilling his promise to the Jews here. That's what it's saying. That's another huge reason I can't accept these philosophies, these reformed theology. I can't accept it. Because it attacks the faithfulness of God. To spiritualize this portion of Ezekiel, to say it doesn't say what it really says, strikes at the faithfulness of God. And God's word says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be proved a liar. And another illustration, I say to the millennialists, with your interpretive system, what's to say God doesn't change your salvation? You're replaced by someone else. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I praise God that's not the case, because he keeps his promises. But my point is, God does what he says, and we have no right to interpret it differently. We interpret it as it is written in his word. Interpret it rightly. So God does what he says. Rest in his promises. He's faithful. You know, if we only continually believe that nothing could separate us from the love of Christ, if we only continue to believe that by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, making our requests known, that he would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, if we only truly believe that momentary light affliction was producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, if we only believe that no temptation has come upon us, that stuff which is common to man, but God is faithful to provide a way of escape, that we may endure it. If we only believe that he will strengthen us and surely he will help us. If we only believe he is preparing a place for us, that where he is, we might be with him. If we only believe he would never leave us nor forsake us. If we only believe faithful is he who calls and he will bring it to pass. He's faithful. Apply God's word to your life. Apply it to your circumstances. Apply it to your situations. Apply it to your troubles. And follow the Lord rightly. God is faithful. So he's going to give them the land. He's faithful. And then notice, we're going to see the boundaries of the land. Again, you have the outline in the back, kind of gives an idea of those pictures there. And I'm going to just walk through this. There's really not a lot of explanation here. It's pretty straightforward. It's pointing out in detail that God's going to do what he says. God would not give all these details just to say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. He's giving these details for a purpose. Verse 15, and this shall be the boundary of the land. On the north side from the great sea by the way of the Hethlon, to the entrance of Zedad, Hamath, Berathah, Sibriam, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Hadakar, which is by the border of Haran, and the boundary shall extend from the sea to Hazar Enan at the border of Damascus on the north towards the border of Hamath. This is the north side. And the east side shall be between Haran, Damascus, Gilead, and the land of Israel shall be the Jordan from the north border to the eastern sea you shall measure. This is the east side. This is pretty exact, isn't it? It says here, and the south side toward the south shall extend from Tamar as far as the waters of Meribath Kadesh to the brook of Egypt and to the great sea. This is the south side towards the south. And the west side shall be from the great sea from the south border to the point opposite Lebo Hamath. This is the west side. So here, and notice the tribes again. Verse 21, so you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. Okay? And then notice here, he's going to talk about an old covenant provision. It's like it. It's very interesting to hear this, how God is so fair and so faithful. Listen to this. And it'll come about that when you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst, that they shall be to you as native born among the sons of Israel. They shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it'll come about that in the tribe with which the alien stays, there you shall give him his inheritance. Because the Lord says, what? What's going on here? Aliens hanging out there? So here we have foreigners. This term speaks of someone who is not a Jew, a non-Jew. And you go, wait a second, how's this? Folks, I think what it is here, notice he says, middle of 22, aliens who stay in your midst. This is talking about dividing, which happens in the beginning of the millennium. Aliens who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst. I believe these are saved foreigners who lived in the land during the tribulation in their midst. And when Israel got saved, these saved foreigners were in their midst. They bore children and they went into the millennium and they say, they're in your midst. They get an inheritance with you. I believe that's what it's talking about. How faithful is God? God is fair. He is a great God. And then another thing, another side note, you can't say the church is Israel because then who are these aliens? You know, you have to have the Jews and the non-Jews, right? Back here, we see God's faithfulness. And again, in the diagram, you can read it and look through it. Notice portions for Dan and Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, and Judah. Now these, chapter 48, now these are the names of the tribes from the northern extremity by the way of Hephon to Lebo Hamath, as far as Hazar Anan at the border of Damascus. These are real places. It's all described very clearly. You ever read a little thing when you're buying a house or something, you look at the thing, it says, from the border of line 53 to 74, from the border this way, that border. You know, it's all this line, that line. It says these are borders. And he says here, towards the north, beside Hamath, running from east to west, Dan, one portion. And beside the border of Dan, from the east side to the west side, Asher, one portion. And beside the border of Asher, from the east side to the west side, Naphtali, one portion. And beside the border of Naphtali, from the east side to the west side, Manasseh, one portion. And beside the border of Manasseh, from the east side to the west side, Ephraim, one portion. And beside the border of Ephraim, from the east side to the west side, Reuben, one portion. And beside the border of Reuben, from the east side to the west side, Judah, one portion. And now notice he's going to talk about the holy portions we saw earlier in this portion, Ezekiel. Notice he says, and besides the border of Judah, from the east side to the west side, there shall be an allotment which you shall set apart 25,000 cubits in width, and its length shall be like one of the portions from east side to the west side, and its sanctuary shall be in the middle of it. Here we have the holy portion below the land of Judah, a little over 64 square miles. And we see the sanctuary shall be in the middle of it. You see your little diagram there? There's two little things. You got the holy portion versus the other portion, right? The allotment that you shall set apart for the Lord shall be 25,000 cubits in length, 10,000 in width. A holy allotment shall be for these, namely for the priests, towards the north, 25,000 in length. Towards the west, 10,000 in width. Towards the east, 10,000 in width. So you got 10 and 10, which makes 20. So we have 25. And then you have here, towards the south, 25,000 length, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in its midst. And it shall be for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge, who did, he's reminding us of this, who did not go astray when the sons of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. Hey, they're being rewarded, their relatives, because they didn't go astray. They didn't yoke with the world in the worship of God. They were faithful. And it shall be an allotment to them from the allotment of the land, a most holy place by the border of the Levites. So you have this holy district and the sanctuary in its midst. You got the sons of Zadok being blessed for their faithfulness. And notice the Levites' allotment, verse 13. And along the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. The whole length shall be 25,000 cubits and the width 10,000. Moreover, they shall not sell or exchange any of it or alienate any of this choice portion of land, for it is holy to the Lord. So this part, they're not going to be able to sell it out. Not going to be able to exchange it. This is holy to the Lord. Which implies some of the other land, there could be some stuff going on, you know, with the inheritances and things during the millennium. Interesting. Then you got the city district here. And the remainder, 5,000 in width and 25,000 in length, shall be for common use for the city, for dwellings and for open spaces. for the city shall be in its midst. So then there's a city district where dwellings, open space, the city. There's the context. This is the city of Jerusalem, by the way. And notice the measurements. And these shall be its measurements. The north side, 4,500 cubits. South side, 4,500 cubits. East side, 4,500 cubits. West side, 4,500 cubits. Cubit is 18 inches, foot and a half, okay? And the city shall have open spaces on the north, 250 cubits and 250 cubits. South, 250 cubits and 250 cubits. And on the west, 250 cubits. By the way, your open space shouldn't take up everywhere, right? You get it, but it's not taking the whole place, right? And the remainder of the length alongside the holy allotment shall be 10,000 cubits towards the east, 10,000 toward the west, and it should be alongside the holy allotment, and its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. And the workers of the city out... This is some millennial information here, isn't it? It's going to be jobs in the millennium. It's going to be stuff going on. And he says here, workers of the city out of all the tribes of Israel shall cultivate it. All tribes. The whole allotment shall be 25,000 by 25,000 cubits. You shall set apart the holy allotment a square with the property of the city. So you have this city district to provide food for the workers. 12 tribes will cultivate it. And you can see it on your map, right? Makes sense, right? And then notice we have a prince's provision. Verse 21. And the remainder shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other, the holy allotment of the property of the city in front of the 25,000 cubits, the allotment towards the east border and the westward in front of the 25,000 towards the west border, alongside the portions that shall be for the prince. And the holy allotment and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the middle of it. And exclusive of the property of the Levites and the property of the city, which are in the middle of that which belongs to the prince, everything between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall be for the prince. Now remember, this prince is not the Lord, because he was to offer sacrifices for himself also, which means he's a sinner, right? So this prince is going to be someone who's not glorified, I think, probably, in that time that the Lord gives great responsibility as a leader of Israel, a good leader, not like the bad leaders that they had before. Remember, we saw that contrast. And then notice the tribes' portions here in 23, the rest of them. And for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west side, Benjamin, one portion from the border, beside the border of Benjamin, from the east side of the west side, Simeon, one portion. And from the border of Simeon, from the east side of the west side, Issachar, one portion. And beside the border of Issachar, from the east side of the west side, Zebulun, one portion. And beside the border of Zebulun, from the east side of the west side, Gad, one portion. And beside the border of Gad, at the south side towards the south, the border shall be from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, to the great sea. And then notice, we see that God is going to give this as an inheritance, as he said he would. 29, this is the land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for an inheritance, and these are their several portions, declares the Lord God. Again, I don't mean to be overly repetitious, but this inheritance is for the tribes of Israel. Now, there are foreigners who were in the midst of them who get a piece there too, because God is faithful. That's for the tribes of Israel. You see, we the church receive our inheritance in Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ for everything. You know, this is a earthly inheritance that God has promised and will fulfill. He fulfills his promises. Again, if you lean towards an intellectual theology from this massive Reformed movement that's taking over churches, taking over the Baptist church, by the way, movement that rejects Romans 11. They say they don't, but they do. If you're leaning towards a theology, then what's to say the inheritance that God has spoken for you in the church, that he might change that and do something else? He's not going to. He's faithful. But the point is, don't change his word. God is faithful to his word. Verse 29, this is the land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for an inheritance. And these are their several portions, declares Lord God. And then notice here, as we come to the end here, God's presence is proclaimed. Verse 30, and these are the exits of the city on the north side, 4,500 cubits by measurement, shall be the gates of the city, named for the tribes of Israel, three gates towards the north, the gate of Reuben, one, the gate of Judah, one, the gate of Levi, one. And on the east side, 4,500 cubits shall be three gates, the gate of Joseph, one, the gate of Benjamin, one, the gate of Dan, one. On the south side, 4,500 cubits by measurement shall be 3 gates, the gate of Simeon, 1 gate, the gate of Issachar, 1, the gate of Zebulun, 1. On the west side, 4,500 cubits shall be 3 gates, the gate of Gad, 1, the gate of Asher, 1, the gate of Naphtali, 1. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about. And then notice this. And the name of the city from that day shall be Jerusalem, says the Lord is there. That's the name of the city. Isn't that great? That's the name. If you haven't been with us through this journey in Ezekiel, you can't understand the grandeur of this. The Lord is there. A God who saved a people out of Egypt and they rejected him. He had to leave his presence from them and send them into exile. A people who crucified the Lord of glory. A people who have turned their back on him, who will one day, when they see him coming again, turn and believe. And they will be with him, and the name of that city will be the Lord is there. Tremendous. So then, in these two chapters, we've seen God alone brings life, and he is faithful to do what he has promised to do. And he will dwell among redeemed Jews. They're physically there, but also among all the redeemed forever. We've seen the wonderful truth in Ezekiel over 63 times that then they or you will know that he's the Lord. And the message has been that you can know the Lord via one of two ways. Either through judgment, when you will know he's the Lord, and your knee will bow and you'll be judged forever and ever for your sins. You'll pay the punishment for them. Or through salvation, where you humbly acknowledge him as Lord. You humbly believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You trust in him, you will know he's the Lord. And here, they will be saved, and he will be in their midst. You see, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction in salvation between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, Jew and Greek, right? Abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call upon him, or it's too late? Will you believe in him? Will you know him as the Lord?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.